Hey, welcome to a new edition of Pearls and Swine. We're here at the Neva Ranch in Boston location. And I don't know if it's Boston location.
Franklin Township. Representing.
Yeah, there we go. We have Todd Neva here. He's our guest. And I have Travis and Nate with me also. I'm Levi. And we're going to be talking today about money and some of the misconceptions. And then just kind of bring it back to what kind of the scripture says about it. One of the interesting things about Todd is he has worked for Fortune 500 companies. And I know when I hear like Fortune 500 company, I think greedy. I think always bottom line, and that's all they think about. But I'm wondering, Todd, is that really actually true?
Hasn't been my experience at all. I mean, I'm sure at some level there is, but at the level of decisions where the managers are making decisions on a day-to-day basis, they don't directly report to the shareholders. I'd imagine that at the board meetings, maybe there's some of that talk where money matters and they're looking at the earnings per share, but that gets filtered out fairly quickly. So on a day-to-day basis, now we're just people with families and jobs, and we have a lot of things to worry about.
Yeah, I think when I think of it, I think of like Mr. Scrooge. Like, can we have one more piece of coal, Mr. Scrooge? And it's really probably not like that. And yet, you know, for-profit businesses are good in one sense. It's good for the economy and those types of things. But it also, you know, we realize that money really makes the world go round. And so, as you guys think about money, Nate, Travis, what are some of the maybe misconceptions that you have heard or some of your thoughts on just money?
Have you heard the one that Jesus is a socialist?
I have heard that.
Yeah, I think that one is one that I like to confront or talk about or get discussions going on. Because, people look at, I think it's Acts 2, right? Where the church is functioning together and taking care of each other's needs. And how Jesus wanted the church to work like that and to care for one another, to love one another, all that good stuff. But the problem is, you know, if you don't have any resources, if there's no money, there's no food to go around, then how do you provide for each other's needs? So, yeah. Any thoughts?
Well, Todd, when I'm thinking about your experience in the corporate world, like you worked for a company that had tons of profit and income. How did they use that? Because money's a tool, right? So what did they use as like maybe philanthropy efforts or community involvement? How did they bless the community that they were in with what they had?
Well, on a personal level, they're providing for me. I'm a complete quadriplegic. I was diagnosed with ALS 9 years ago. And at the time, I was middle-level manager with a long-term disability policy through the company. And when I became completely disabled, of course, I qualify for Social Security, the safety net we have with our government. That it's difficult to survive on that with the family. We have two children. And my company then provides, through that long-term disability policy, they provide 70% of my pre-disability income. And they'll continue to do that until I retire. A lot of companies don't provide that level of service. I work for a really special company with that, and I admit that. But, even other companies, they do provide other benefits, and people are greatly blessed by the benefits their companies provide, not just the income, but other health insurance, dental insurance, things of that nature. I mean, that's obvious. That's the obvious. The company I work for, they also do a lot of other things. They're very environmentally conscious. So the big movement they're in right now is cleaning up the plastic in the oceans. Mm. They have right now a recycling program where they're collecting plastics, and they have a line of products where they're making bottles out of the plastic that they collect from oceans. It's pretty cool.
That's way cool. Yeah, I just am reminded of like the parable of the talents when Jesus shared that and talked about like, you know, you're supposed to use what you've been given as leverage, and we can use money as a tool. And that's really the perspective that I think that we should have as a church, whether or not you're a Fortune 500 company or you're a mom and pop shop down the street. I think money is a fantastic tool.
Yeah, money is a fantastic tool. I think you're right. And I think the problem with money is it has the power to become something else. And when it becomes our master, when it starts to rule our hearts or rule all of our thoughts, that's when it becomes an issue. And that's why the Bible talks so much about money and warning against the idea of holding too tightly to it. And so I think the Bible is actually pro-money, like in many ways, in pro-making money, pro-using money. And I think that in the scriptures, when it talks about money in a negative fashion, it's always about somebody's heart toward money. And it's a wonderful servant, horrible, horrible master. And I think that's why the scriptures and why Jesus talks about it so often.
That's often misquoted when they'll say that money is the root of all evil, and it's not. It's actually the love of money that's the root of all evil.
Yeah, and that's found in 1 Timothy 6, and talks about that in that craving for money, people wander away from the faith and pierce themselves with many pains. And so it's this self-hurt that happens. And, you know, Jesus talked about this idea of the two masters that Levi brought up, that, you know, you can't serve both God and money. And it's interesting that he
juxtaposes.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. That's not it. Anyway, he compares God and money, not God and some other God, but money versus God. And so if we're using money as a tool and yet serving our master God, that is the real, I think, thing that Jesus is asking us to do. Because if God is our master, then we will serve him to the best of our ability, including the resources that we have.
Yeah, a couple of misconceptions that people have is that companies are greedy and that everything that they do is just for the money. And that's really, like I said, that has not been my experience at all. Now, I mean, certainly companies need to be profitable, otherwise they don't survive. So that's always in the back of their mind. But the decisions that companies often make have to do with their personnel, the ability to retain good talent, you know, offering benefits in a work environment where people want to stick around. And, you know, I mean, well, maybe there's a bit of money or self-service involved in that because it's more expensive to train new people than it is to retain an existing one. I mean, maybe that's at the root of it at a certain extent. But I mean, honestly, the decisions that companies make that have impacted me have really been on a personal level, like what's best for our employees and what will help them do their job, what will help them be productive, what will help them have a balance between their home life and their work life. Now, I mean, things are generally at a much more personal level. Now, there's always exceptions. There are companies out there that are horrible, despicable companies. I've actually worked for a couple companies that I did not enjoy at all. I didn't like that. Those companies tend not to do as well in the long run. They tend not to attract and retain good quality people. The market sorts those things out. That's what's so impressive about the market. People, they'll say, well, you know, we can't have laissez-faire capitalism. And it's like, well, show me where there's ever been laissez-faire capitalism. You know, you can't point to the 1700s because that wasn't laissez-faire capitalism. Those were mercantilism, protectionist systems built around city-states where industry was highly regulated within these cities. When Adam Smith wrote his book, Wealth of Nations, he was actually arguing that cities that were too highly regulated were not as prosperous as cities that were less regulated. Since then, I don't know if there's ever been a completely laissez-faire capitalist system, ever. And what we have in the United States is a free market economy, mostly with some regulation. And those regulations, I don't think most people argue that a base level of regulation is bad. I think most people would argue that it's beneficial. I'm sure there's people out there who believe in like zero regulation. Yeah, just like there's people who believe in complete totalitarianism. I mean, there's people on both sides of the spectrum, but that's not where most people are. That's not where businesses are.
Sure. Yeah, we live in a pretty incredible place, pretty incredible environment that allows for businesses to prosper. And I'm thankful for some of the regulations that are a part of it. And yet, as we think about money and we think about just even big business, part of like even the creation mandate, I think goes back to making money. And the creation mandate is, you know, this idea that we would use the earth, we would care for the earth, but we would also use the earth for our benefit. And I think companies that are out there that are using and making products are actually fulfilling what God called Adam and Eve to do way back when. And so, I think that's it. That's a part of just money and where it comes from and where even the scriptures kind of point us and lead us within that.
Yeah, I like that idea, Levi, and I was just thinking, when you think of some of the most beautiful places, right, in regards to environment even, it's where man has cultivated the earth. You think of golf courses, they're just absolutely beautiful places. Well, the grass is cut to a certain level and, you know, it's always watered and that kind of thing, or botanical gardens and that kind of stuff. And that takes effort, that takes, you know, labor and money and all that stuff. And so that goes along with the creation mandate that you're talking about, subduing the earth. And I think when there's human involvement and when we're thinking about how we can utilize the resources God has given to us to provide a better place, it doesn't have to be this socialistic place. It can be a place where we are creating more resources and creating more money. But it's also a place that can be an amazing place to live in and thrive in, right?
Nate, are you a socialist? You just keep bringing that up, right? You just kind of...
See, I want to get Todd really going because I know he loves the socialist system and stuff. And so, yeah.
Maybe that could be take two or something. We could talk about socialism. And is that really that concept in the scripture of... I think you're talking about Acts 2:42 when they're giving stuff away and taking care of one another's needs, but we could talk about that at another time.
Well, and socialism has gotten a lot of play of late, so...
Well, the thing about socialism is that it works best when there's wealth. Mm. I sometimes tell people, you know, I guess I have more conservative leanings, but I tell people that I'm fiscally conservative on a national basis and socially liberal on a local basis. I just like the control to be a little bit closer to the state level where government is more accountable. But I do like our programs. I like that we protect people that are vulnerable. I like that we provide education, that we provide health care to children of single mothers. I like that. I really do. I think that's good. But I also recognize that it's because of our wealth that we can do that. You know, and people sometimes they'll say, well, you know, like, for example, healthcare is a right. Well, if it's a right, then you have to ask yourself if a poor African nation is violating people's rights by not providing healthcare. And I don't think you would. So it's probably not a right, but is it a benefit that we as a society want to provide and or have more people have access to? And I think that's a very legitimate question. Again, I would argue that, well, if we do, maybe that's best managed at a state level. But the thing is we need to recognize that capitalism and free market enterprise is not in conflict with these. It's actually the engine that drives those programs. It really is. Places like Denmark and Sweden that have a lot of social benefits, they only have those social benefits because they have a free market enterprise that allows that, that creates that wealth. And when you look at indexes...
They have less regulations than we do, don't they?
They do, yeah. There's indices of of freedom that show how easy it is to create a business. And some of those countries are actually more free than the United States. And the United States, try to open a business. You know, try and just find out how difficult it is just on something really simple. And then even if you do open a business and you get through all the regulatory hurdles after all that, you know, then being punished with the level of taxation that really saps your desire to, you know, to grow. I don't know. I mean, we really have to think through these issues and determine what level of regulation we want and what, you know, what would be best for our society as a whole. And these are good questions to debate.
Well, that makes me excited, Todd. I got you to talk a little bit about socialism, so I feel like I've accomplished my task for today. So what you got?
Well, and Todd, when you start talking about that, my mind jumps to this idea of stewardship, and it comes back to the creation mandate and all of that. Like, you are called as a believer to be a good steward over the gifts or the talents that you have. And I think when you look at capitalism or even socialism, I think makes somewhat of an attempt for that. Like, you're to leverage your resources for the best possible, whatever you perceive as good. And I think a lot of these Fortune 500 companies get knocked for the few that are bad, right? Like, one bad apple ruins the whole bunch. From my time in the secular world, I worked for a company that did somewhere 15 million, something like that, in sales annually. And they did a ton of good with the resources that they had for the communities that they were in. A lot of fundraising for kids with childhood diseases like cancer and stuff. They took phenomenal care of their employees. They really pushed that life-work balance, that there was some quality of life inside the office and outside of the office. And I think, like, sometimes we just need to take a step back and sort of step out on the balcony, so to speak, and look at the whole perspective of things and what their real initiative is, what their concerns are for the corporate level. Obviously, on the personal level, like, we as believers need to have a different worldview on those things. We need to have a perspective of love our neighbors as ourselves. But I think it's really good things to consider and take a look at.
Right. We believers have a responsibility for a personal level of stewardship for our neighbors, and we need to take that seriously. In the at the time of the Israelites, the early Israelites, they had a theocracy, they had a system of tithing, but they did have laws that were in place to protect people, to protect the vulnerable, to protect the crops and make sure that people were provided for. Now, they had those. Now, we have a lot of those institutions within a secular government apart from the church. You know, so we have to kind of marry those two things. What we as individuals are responsible to do, what we as a church should be doing, but and also what we as a government are able to do. I mean, those are all things where every part plays a role in loving our neighbors, us personally, through our companies, through our church, and through the government. And these are debates that we have to have. I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer on any one of them, but we should have those debates.
Well, I think this is our time is up for today. Todd, thanks for hanging out with us, or allowing us to hang out with you here at the Hacienda. This is our new edition of
Pearls
and Swine.
All right. Thanks for listening.